very much. And I apologize to those who were at my talk in the Simon Center 2 months ago, which was the same subject. Or from here, should I start?
Not too far.
Yeah, I will not go beyond this. Okay, so the topic is short star product for filtered quantizations. And this is a joint work with Eric Rains and Douglas Stryker. Douglas Stryker is an undergraduate student who participated in this research. And so this is basically an attempt to understand some paper by physicists. But let me first start from mathematical definitions. So let A be a commutative associative algebra. Everything is going to be over complex numbers. And the algebra should be graded by non-negative integers. So this means that I have a decomposition, direct sum from I equals 0 to infinity AI. And let's say A0 is just C, and AI is finite dimensional for every I. Suppose it has a Poisson bracket. Let us have a Poisson bracket. And I'm going to require that it's homogeneous of degree minus 2. For example, if you have a standard symplectic space, then the Poisson bracket is of degree minus 2. And by the way, note that this also includes the case when Poisson bracket is of degree minus 1. Because then I can just multiply all the degrees by 2 and get a Poisson bracket of degree minus 2. In principle, I could do this theory when the degree is minus d for arbitrary d, and much of it will generalize. But in most examples, which is basically hyperkähler cones, the degree is going to be either minus 1 or minus 2. So I can always consider degree minus 2. And in this case, we have an automorphism. So we have a Z-mod 2 action by minus 1 to the degree. Everything I do is going to be invariant with respect to this action. So the question is, how can we quantize such an algebra? And one of the methods of quantizations, which goes back to basically the beginnings of quantum mechanics, is quantization by star product. So what is star?
In your case, minus 1 on the power 2 is 1.
No. The degree operator. So d is the degree operator. So d is the operator from a to a. So d on ai, x by I, times the identity. So let me define what I mean by a star product. So a star product. And I will always consider Z mod 2 equivariant. So I'm not going to say it, but it's always assumed the star product is equivariant. On A is a product of the form A star B equals to the usual product AB. And then the deformations terms, C1 of AB plus C2 of AB plus so on, where CI are linear maps from A tensor A to A, of degree minus I, minus 2i. I want it to be associative. To connect to the previous picture, I want the Poisson bracket to be recovered from the first non-trivial term. So C1 of AB minus C1 of BA equals to the Poisson bracket of A and B. So I should mention that in the physical context, we have H bar, which we put here. So there is H bar here, H bar squared here. But in my situation, H bar is going to be equal to 1. And in fact, this is not a problem because, well, in general, it's a formal series. But in our case, because the degrees become more and more negative, for any given elements A and B, the series will terminate. So it makes sense for H bar equals to 1. And actually, if I set it to be any other non-zero number, the theory is going to be exactly the same by rescaling. And here is another definition. So sometimes you want just additional property of this product. Star is called even if ci of ab is equal to minus 1 to the I times ci of BA. So the odd ci are skew symmetric and the even ci are symmetric. So this in particular implies that C1 of AB will equal to 1/2 of the Poisson bracket, A with B. So a classical example of this is the Moyal product, which quantizes a standard symplectic bracket. This is basically Weyl quantization of standard position and momentum variables. So without coordinates, you can formulate it as follows. So suppose V is a finite dimensional symplectic vector space. Suppose pi in wedge 2 of V is a Poisson bivector. So pi is just the inverse of the symplectic form. Also, we have algebra of functions, which is the symmetric algebra of the dual space. And then we have this star product, which is the Moyal product. So we take A tensor B. Then we take the following operator, exponential of 1/2 pi. So pi has two components. One acts on A, the other acts on B. And then I get this way an element of the tensor product of A with itself. And then I have to do the multiplication. So for example, more explicitly, if V equals to C2 with the standard form, X and P coordinates, standard coordinates on the dual space, then I have the following formula, multiplication. So A star B is, these are polynomials in X and P. So this is multiplication of exponential of 1/2. Dp tensor product with dx minus dx tensor dp applied to A tensor. So this is associative, well known to be associative. So it's a star product and it's even. So this is even. So this is a very classical and familiar story. But now I'm going to introduce a somewhat non-standard definition. which arose in a paper by Beam Pilliers and Rastelli in connection with a three-dimensional superconformal field series. I won't be able to explain the physics from which it comes from, but the mathematical definition is the following. So a star product is short if, well, they actually use a different term which satisfies truncation condition. If Ci of AB vanishes for I greater than the minimum of degree of A and degree of B. Automatically, we have something weaker than this. So automatically, we have Ci of AB equals zero for I greater than degree of A plus degree of B over 2. Well, because this has degree minus 2i, so if I is bigger than that, then the degree of Ci of AB will be negative, and we have nothing in negative degree. But this is weaker than this, so this is a stronger condition. So for example, this condition implies that if we multiply elements, two elements of different degrees, we will never get a constant term. We will never get a degree zero contribution. And so the place where it comes from roughly in physics is the following, that it comes from theory n equals 4 supersymmetric theory where we have a hyperkähler manifold, or more precisely, hyperkähler cone, and which is a special type of hyperkähler manifold. And in particular, on that cone, there is an action, real analytic action of SU2. Which permutes the complex structure, which acts on the sphere of complex structures corresponding to this hyperkähler structure. And this SU2 is supposed to act on everything. And basically, this restriction comes from the Clebsch-Gordan rule for representations of that SU2. So it basically, this property comes up. You know, traditionally, mathematicians study quantizations of holomorphic symplectic manifolds, or more precisely, algebraic symplectic manifolds. And they ignore the fact that holomorphic symplectic structure comes with an additional, often comes with an additional structure, which is hyperkähler. And this is more or less what you'll see if you put in that additional structure in the mathematical framework. And that's a very rough picture. But let me explain. That's right. So if you transform, if you think about what hyperkähler condition adds to the picture, then for algebraists it will be this, basically.
You know, I don't buy that, but
yeah, yeah, yeah. No. Well, maybe it won't be so clear from my talk, but I can say more later. So in other words, they studied some n equals 4 three-dimensional superconformal theory, and they obtained some operator product expansions there. And because they were invariant with respect to that SU2, they gave us quantizations of A, which satisfied this condition. And but this was a kind of physics paper, and so they conjectured that such products exist in nice situations. So I'm going to get to that. But before this, let me just make a remark that a fact is that the Mayal product is short. And if you want an example of a short and not necessarily even product, then you can slightly change Mayall quantization by changing the rule of quantization. So this means that you fix a number alpha in let's say, C, and we consider multiplication by the formula M, let's say in the two-dimensional case, of exponential of alpha dp tensor product with dx minus 1 minus alpha dx dp multiplied by a tensor b. This is not even if alpha is not equal to 1/2, but always short. And that is very easy to check. Okay, so but evenness condition just means basically that things are, I mean, compatibility with Hermitian structure and so on. Yeah, it's complicated how this really comes up. I mean, it's yes, and that not only to that, but also the fact that these complex structures are all isomorphic and there is SU2 action. This is something that is not true for general Kuiper-Keiler manifolds, but
it's not general.
It's the cone, yes. Yes, but in any case, it's what happens is that if you have such a cone, you get such some quantum field theory, and from this theory, you can derive certain quantization of this A, and it's going to have this property according to this paper. I cannot prove or disprove this statement because I cannot even formulate this statement. But in particular, from this follows the statement that for any hyperkeiler cones, such things exist and have some properties. And these are the conjectures I'm going to talk about. I can prove those in some cases. So, but there is also another approach to quantization, and we will actually need both. The other approach is to consider some algebra. Non-commutative algebra whose associated graded is this A. And so let us consider that approach. So here is the definition. A filtered quantization, this is a more traditional approach in modern literature. Again, it's going to be Z mod 2 equivariant of this algebra A is Z greater or equal to 0 filtered algebra. I'm going to denote it by calligraphic A. So in this calligraphic A is going to be the union, nested union over I greater or equal to 0 of FIA. With the identification of the associated graded, which is the direct sum over I of FIA over FI minus 1A, with a straight A as an algebra, and this Z mod 2 structure should be lifted to the quantization, so and an automorphism S from the script A to itself, whose such that its square is the identity, and S, the graded of it, is minus 1 to the degree. So that's the definition. Let's discuss what is the connection between these two approaches. Well, first of all, if you have a star product, then it is very easy to obtain such quantization. So if A and star is a star product, then of course you can easily define quantization in a most almost tautological way. So capital, so the script A will be just the same as straight A. The multiplication is the star product, and S is minus one to the d.
So you really need not, don't have to do anything. But to go the other way, you need to put additional structure. There is more star products than filtered quantization. Sometimes different star products define the same filtered quantization. In fact, an interesting example, filtered quantizations are parameterized by finitely many parameters. But of course, there are infinitely many parameters for star products. So what structure do we need to prescribe? Well, this is just called a quantization map.
So here is the definition. A quantization map is a linear map phi from straight A to curly A, not a homomorphism of algebras, because it has the property, it's required to have the property that associated graded of phi, which would be the map from the straight A to itself, is the identity. So it's a linear isomorphism in particular. And so it can't be a homomorphism of algebras if one algebra is commutative and the other is not. So
this is what we mean by quantization map. And I want it to be compatible with the Z mod 2 structure. So phi composed with minus 1 to the D should be equal to S composed with phi. So then if you, I give such structure on a quantization, then I can recover the star product.
So then we get the star product by the following formula, A star B is equal to phi inverse of phi of A times phi of B.
And this is, again, completely classical. So this in books sometimes, like in the book of Guillemin and Sternberg, for example, this phi of A is denoted by A hat. So this is the operator corresponding to A under a certain quantization procedure. And this is a bijection. So lemma, easy lemma, says that this is a bijection.
Namely, if you have a star product, then you can recover algebra A and quantization map, which will be just the identity in that case. And conversely, if you have an algebra with quantization map, then you can recover the star product on the original commutative algebra. So this is very easy and classical.
And you can also say what evenness condition means. So it's another lemma, also very easy. So star is even. How to say that in the language of quantizations and quantization map? A, so it says A is equipped with an anti-involution sigma from A to A. So it's anti-automorphism, which is squares to the identity, such that phi composed with square root of minus 1 to the d equals to sigma composed with phi. And I'm sorry, it's not anti-involution. It's anti-automorphism, anti-automorphism of order 4, anti-automorphism. And sigma square should be equal to this S, which is the minus 1 to the quantization of minus 1 to the degree. And it's easy to see this because what happens is if we have this property here, then if we act by square root of minus 1 to the d, minus 1 to the d preserves the star product, but square root of minus 1 to the d opposes the star product. And that's going to be that thing on the side of quantizations. So any questions up to this point? Questions? Okay, so far everything I said is very well known, except for this definition. And so now I want to give some examples. So the first example is very simple, and it is just the nilpotent cone of SL2. So let me take Lie algebra SL2 and chi is a, let's say, a complex number, and I have algebra A, which is U chi, and it is enveloping algebra of G modulo the relation that Casimir equals chi. So then, of course, this has a standard filtration such that its associated graded is straight A, which is a polynomial functions on N, where N is defined by, so this is in C3, given by the form equations x, y equals to z squared. The degrees of all variables are 2. So S equals 1, because all degrees are even. And then you can write A. A has an action of SL2. And as an SL2 module, it decomposes as V0 plus V2 plus V4 plus so on. And these are highest weight representations of SL2 of dimension 3, 1, 3, 5, and so on. And then, so in particular, this shows that if, of course, script A also has that decomposition. So this means that if we require that phi, this quantization map, is a SL2 equivariant, then it is unique. Just by representation theoretic reasons, because its associated graded has to be the identity. And moreover, we have the Clebsch-Gordan rule, which is Vm tensored with Vn equals to V with absolute value m minus n plus higher weights. Because of this, the corresponding star product, so we know that to every quantization and quantization map corresponds a star product, and so the corresponding star product is short and even, actually. It's even because if you compute the map from Vm cross Vn to Vm minus n plus 2i, then for some I it is symmetric, and for some I it is q-symmetric. And if you try to compute this, it's somewhat non-trivial, but of course classical, you get 6j symbol, Raka coefficients, and so on. And this is more or less, this Clebsch-Gordan thing is more or less the reason why they discover this structure here. Although the SL2 that will act there is not this one, but some other SL2, but it has the same effect. So that's a very simple example, which is in their paper, of course. This example has a generalization, which is more interesting but still very easy, modular representation theory. And this is the case when A is C of n, where n, C of x, where x is the minimal nilpotent orbit of a simple Lie algebra. See, nilpotent orbits of simple Lie algebra, among them there is one that is minimal, such that any other orbit basically minimal dimension. This orbit has a remarkable property that if you look at the decomposition of a function ring as an action, as a module over, well, maybe I should say closure of this minimal orbit. So this is sits inside the G dual, which can be identified with G. Well, inside G dual, don't need to identify. And this is a representation of G, and it has a similar decomposition. It has V0 plus V corresponding to the highest root. So this is a joint representation, which corresponds to functions, linear functions, then V2 theta plus so on. And there is a similar property, which is Vm theta tensored with Vn theta equals to Vm minus n theta. So it's a certain decomposition, and then Vk theta is among these.
Is it always simple spectrum?
No, it is not simple spectrum, but it matters only how these things occur here for the algebra structure. And this this occurs always with multiplicity 0 or 1. And it is among these with multiplicity 0 or 1, and multiplicity 1 if and only if the same condition is satisfied. K is between m minus n and m plus n, and the difference yeah, so it's basically like this. So for this reason, there exists a unique quantization map, phi, which is G invariant. And it gives a short and even star product. But this is about, so there are not that many examples. I will give another example maybe when you, it is clear that there exists a short even star product. But for example, already if you take SL3 and take the full nilpotent cone rather than the closure of that orbit, then multiplicities are already bigger than one. And it is not clear that a short star product even exists. But there is a conjecture due to these people. And the conjecture says that in nice cases, it does and depends on finitely many parameters. So here is a conjecture. Beam, Pilliers, and Rastelli. Conjecture says that let X be a hyperkähler cone. So let me explain what this means. So this, first of all, this means that this is a symplectic cone, or more commonly called the conical symplectic singularity, which means that it's a conical singularity. So it's an affine cone. And it has the property that the open part has a symplectic structure. And moreover, it has a resolution of singularities homogeneous with respect to the dilations, such that this symplectic structure extends to a closed form on the resolution, but not necessarily non-degenerate. If it extends to a closed non-degenerate form, which means to a symplectic form, then we say that this is a symplectic resolution, and that's an important special case. And a hyperkähler cone means that in addition, you have a hyperkähler metric on the open part, which is compatible with this symplectic form. In the conjecture.
In principle, Aristotle has a definition of singular hyperkähler manifold. So
stronger than what you said. It's not that just that there's Hadamard-Kellogg metric on the open part, but there's some requirement about what happens when this metric approaches singularity.
Yeah, but maybe in this case it might be automatic because singularities have co-dimension, real co-dimension 4, because they have complex co-dimension 2. Okay, but so I'm not exactly sure, so I have to look it up. But in any case, it's not going to matter because I only can do it in some examples, in which case it is known to be this. And the main example is the so-called Higgs branch, which is the Hamiltonian reduction of a symplectic vector space with respect to an action of a subgroup of the symplectic group, reductive subgroup of symplectic group. This is a hyperkähler cone because it can also be obtained as a hyperkähler reduction of that space regarded as a quaternionic space with respect to the action of the maximal compact subgroup of this group. So the conjecture is there are two parts. The first part is short even star products exist. Exist for generic quantization parameters. So quantizations of such cone are parameterized by a certain space, which is H2 of a certain Q factorial terminalization, and modulo some Coxeter group, which is called the Namikawa-Weil group. And this is a finite dimensional space. And for generic point of this space, this should exist. So that was the conjecture. I mean, it's a for this part you don't even need the hyperkähler structure. So it's a conical symplectic singularity. In that case, it is known that deformations are parameterized by a certain.
I understand. Okay, go ahead.
So, but is it really the case that for some particular parameters does not exist? In all the examples you talked about.
Maybe it always exists. I don't know. But I think they only cared about some particular examples when certain unitarity properties happen. Maybe it exists for all parameters. I don't know. But and the second is that it is parameterized by finitely many parameters. So such products are parameterized by finitely many parameters. So here is a theorem that we can prove. So first of all, so two holds, finitely many parameters hold. And in fact, it holds more generally. You don't need it to be hyperkähler. So for any x, a Poisson, an affine Poisson scheme of finite type, with finitely many symplectic leaves.
Wait, but isn't it to be
cone? Cone, of course, affine Poisson cone. Well, it has to be, yeah, cone. But if the cone is an affine Poisson scheme with finitely many symplectic leaves, I only consider cones here. This is satisfied in this case because this is a symplectic singularity, and there is a theorem of Kaledin that the symplectic singularity has finitely many symplectic leaves. And the second part is more vague. that one holds, so we can show that this holds in many cases. I will say in which cases we can prove it. We cannot prove it in general. And it holds even without, and all of it is true even without the evenness condition, without the evenness condition.
You mean that we cannot check that?
In some cases, I can check it without evenness condition. I can prove existence of them without evenness condition, but cannot check with evenness condition. But finite many parameters is true in general.
And this number of parameters, is it supposed to somehow depend on the quantization parameter? Or?
Well, generically, no. It's not supposed to. We will see what this number is supposed to be. No. There are two kinds of parameters. There are parameters of the quantization, but there are also parameters of the short star product, and that's what I didn't tell you about yet. But I will. Okay. So, any other questions? So initially in that paper they did some computations. They tried to address this problem mathematically, and they did some computations for Kleinian singularities of type A, and even for A2 it turned out to be quite complicated if you try to compute these quantizations explicitly. But You will see what that means.
Is it number of deformation parameters, or if it comes, can it happen that the space has infinitely many connected components, for example?
It can, but I'm considering only generic position. So you will see what it means. It means that for generic values of quantization parameters, this is parameterized by something, some very explicit set, about which when I say what the set is, you will have no questions after this. So I was, but in general, this problem remained complicated from the mathematical viewpoint, and I was thinking about it, but I could not make any progress beyond this type A Kleinian singularities, where I just did some explicit calculations. Before I talked to Kantsevich, and then he explained to me in 1 minute what I should do. So let me, and then immediately things started to move along. So here is what it is. So Kantsevich explained to me the following. So he explained to me how to relate these exotic objects, which are short star products, and whose only motivation to consider was this physics paper, to something very familiar to me in mathematics. So let psi from this, suppose we have some quantum algebra A, and suppose psi from A to A is a linear filtration preserving map. So definition, a psi twisted trace on A is a linear function t from this A to complex numbers, such that it satisfies the condition t of alpha beta equals to t of psi of beta times alpha. So usual trace satisfies this condition with psi equals to 1, but we'll consider psi traces. And then t is called non-degenerate if it's not quite what we think. It is stronger. If the form bt of alpha comma beta, which is t of the product alpha beta, is non-degenerate on each filtration piece. So this is a stronger condition than just requiring that it's non-degenerate on A, which means has zero kernel. It has zero kernel on each filtration piece. And then here is a lemma, which is easy to prove. And it says that suppose T is a non-degenerate, and I will assume Z mod 2 equivariant. So I'm going to assume that psi is commutes with S. Yes, that would be the even case. But in so far, I'm going to assume that it just commutes with S. Suppose T is a non-degenerate Z mod 2 equivariant trace, psi twisted trace. Then, first of all, surprising at first sight fact is that psi is an algebra automorphism. I didn't even assume that it was a linear automorphism, but then it's actually not only a linear automorphism, it's an algebra automorphism. That's right. It's just a linear map. A priori, it was just a linear map. But I claim that if this trace is non-degenerate, then this psi is a the strong condition that it's filtration preserving. So if it's non-degenerate, then psi is an algebra automorphism. I mean, it's hard to believe at first, but you can check it. It's pretty easy to check. And then what you can do if you have such a thing, you can define script AI is the orthogonal complement of AI minus 1 of A inside FI of A. So because the form is non-degenerate, when you restrict it to here and also to here, then you can take orthogonal complement of this and you will get this AI. And this is, of course, orthogonal complement by standard linear algebra is isomorphic to the quotient FI of A over FI minus 1 of A canonically, which is just straight AI. So this gives you a map, an isomorphism phi I from here to here. And then you can define phi, which is the direct sum of all these phi I. And this is a map from straight A to curly A. And that's a quantization map. And then another lemma says that the star product defined by this quantization map is short.
Yeah. The
yeah, 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 yeah. I looked at that paper then, and then I realized that it does. But I, of course, before I talked to Kantsevich, I didn't understand that. So this is one result. But we want to have a bijection between short star products and something that we can understand, like these traces. So how to go back? Suppose you have a short star product, then you can define, you can attach to it a bilinear form, B star of AB is just the constant term of A star B. So
remember this constant term doesn't vanish if for homogeneous A and B can be non-vanishing only if A and B have the same degree. And so this means that so if it is a short star product, then AI is orthogonal to AJ with respect to this form if I is different from J. I think I can still write here. What? Yes? Okay. And so, and then, and then it's clear that the star product is so we can we call the definition. We make a definition that the star product is non-degenerate if B is non-degenerate. And in this case, non-degeneracy is the usual one because we have this direct sum decomposition. So non-degeneracy on each piece of the grading is the same as non-degeneracy on the whole thing. This is physicists care about the non-degenerate case because they have a Hermitian version of this product, and it is supposed to be positive definite. And here is a proposition which follows from this. Again, it is easy and probably known to physicists in the physics language. And it says that non-degenerate short star products correspond bijectively to pairs T psi, where psi is an automorphisms of A, and it is preserving the filtration, and T non-degenerate psi twisted trace. And you can also say what happens to the evenness condition in terms of these traces. So that's also easy to say. We had the sigma, which was an anti-automorphism, and the requirement is that T is sigma invariant under this order 4 automorphism, and psi equals S, as David was asking. So this is basically what followed this discussion with Kantsevich, that I was able to read this paper. But anyway.
Because at the time the Rastelian beam paper was written, they did not know how to compute the star product from the tray, from this S-strip bank. So they had to bootstrap the star.
That's right.
This very complicated bootstrap position. And then some other authors found the S-strip function.
That's right, yes. Yeah. I will say about that too. But well, I don't have that much time left.
Evenness condition says that psi is equal to S.
For evenness condition, psi equals to S, yes.
So basically, there's almost no freedom.
If you want to be even, there is no freedom in the choice of psi. So let me now give you the explanation how we prove part two of conjecture. So now we want to classify these short star products. And now this proposition is extremely useful because short star products are something exotic, but this twisted traces is something that we understand very well because it is Hochschild homology. That's correct, yes.
So the actual theorem is about
yes, non-degenerate for non-degenerate products, yeah. For degenerate, I don't know. I suspect it is still true, but so here is how we classify so proof of part two would be the following. Suppose suppose A is finitely generated, which is what we assume here, a scheme of finite type. Then this straight A, script A is finitely generated. So psi in automorphisms of A, preserving the filtration, is defined by action on finitely many degrees on some f j. And therefore, so this means that this is an algebraic group. And so this gives us finitely many parameters for psi, even without the evenness condition. And then given psi, we have this trace. And the trace has to be what? It's a trace twisted, so it is in H0 of A with A psi dual space and S invariant. Where this is a bimodule over A, where A left on the left by usual multiplication and on the right by psi. And so what we need to prove is that this space is finite dimension. And this is a problem that curiously I worked on several years before that. So let's consider an example when psi equals to 1, just for simplicity. And then I will explain what to do in general case. This is, by the way, the even case in the case when degrees are all even.
Sorry, can you repeat what is superscript star S?
Star means dual space, and S means invariant with respect to S. So if psi equals to 1, then we have to consider this space H0 of A. So this is the usual zeros Hochschild homology. And in this case, there is this Brillinsky spectral sequence, which says that if I take associated graded of this zeros Hochschild homology with respect to the filtration on A, then this receives a surjective map from Poisson zeros homology of the classical algebra. So this is just what? This is script A over the commutator script A. And this is straight A over the Poisson bracket, script A. And then now we can conclude by using a theorem that I proved with Travis Shedler using a theory of D modules, which says that if X has finitely many symplectic leaves, then this space is finite dimensional. So the theorem, if X has finitely many symplectic leaves, then A over A is finite dimensional. And this is proved by myself and Shedler. I should conclude. So let me say what you do in the more general case. So if psi has finite order, then you can apply the same argument, basically, to the fixed points. So it turns out that this reduces to showing that this Poisson homology of the fixed points is finite dimensional. And the fixed points is also a Poisson scheme, and it also has finitely many symplectic leaves. In particular, that takes care of the even case. And in general case, what you have to use is the following, that there is a theorem that this group is reductive. Actually, for any symplectic singularity, it is not true, but it is true for hyperkähler singularity because of some unitarity things. So you can show that the real part of this group is compact, and so because it has to preserve some hyperkähler metric. And this is using, you could have to use twister construction of Hitchin, basically, for this. And and then you have a lemma that if an automorphism is reductive, then this space is finite dimensional for any psi. And this is already an algebraic state.
Automorphism as what?
As an algebra.
Yeah,
as a filtered algebra, yes. Mm-hmm. So this is how this part two is proved. And maybe I should mention how one can prove part one in some situations. So this is the last thing. Part one says in some cases there are these star products. So basically it will be.
Yeah, but you didn't say in what cases.
Right, so I'm going to say in which cases I can do it. So so the first case, so I know basically two methods to show. So the point is that I have to show, if I use this approach, I have to show that non-degenerate trace exists. Now, this trace, okay, to show that traces exist, I have to show that this space is not zero. So in many cases, I can do it because we can compute this space. But then I have to show that the generic element of this space is non-degenerate in the strong sense. Non-degeneracy in the weak sense, which means no kernel, is easier because, for example, if my kernel of T has to be an ideal, and in particular, if algebra is simple, then there will be no kernel. However, showing that it is non-degenerate on every, restricted to every filtration piece is more complicated, and in fact, it fails on some complicated hypersurfaces, not hyperplanes, some kind of hypersurfaces, complicated hypersurfaces. And so to do this, the only I know two methods. So one method is deformation theory. If I already know that at some point that my trace is non-degenerate, then nearby points it will be. Generically, generic points it will be. And this I can do, for example, if X is quotient of a vector space by a finite group. So in this case, there is a point where I can understand everything. Namely, there is a quantization A, which is the Weyl algebra of V, G invariant. So G is a finite subgroup of SP of V here. Well, in this case, I can simply take the Moyal quantization and restrict it to G invariant functions. And this will give me a short star product for this. But now there are deformations of this. And this is what is called the spherical symplectic reflection algebras from my paper with Ginzburg. And so this means that it satisfies conjecture part one. So for generic parameters, we have short star products because the trace cohomology is a flat family, and that means in for any parameter, we will have this thing. So this is one type of method. But sometimes you don't have any point where you can prove easily the existence of such star product. And for example, for Neil Cohn or for Higgs branch. And in this case, so this is the first type of method. And the second type of method is positivity. So for example, let me give you an example how to prove that it exists. So a theorem, there exists a short star product for the nilpotent cone of a semi-simple Lie algebra. For SL2, it was easy, but I said already for SL3, it wasn't obvious. So let me finish with proving this theorem. So what you do is you compute this. So in this case, S equals 1. And so if you want to look even star products, it will also be psi equals 1. So you have to look at this space H0 of A, where A is U chi. This is the quotient of enveloping algebra by a central character. And this space is well known to be just one-dimensional, as is the Poisson homology, which is just co-invariance of Lie algebra acting on the nilpotent cone, because trivial representation only occurs with multiplicity 1. It's one-dimensional. And so there is only one trace up to scaling. And what is this trace? Well, we can characterize it easily when the character is that of a finite dimensional representation. In that case, it is just a trace in that representation. So we have so if chi is a character of representation V lambda, finite dimensional, then the trace, if I normalize it to by the condition T of 1 equals 1, which is convenient, then T of A is the trace in V lambda of A divided by the dimension of V lambda.
And well, this is, of course, degenerate, because it has a kernel, which is this ideal that is killed in representation V lambda. However, if I take particular piece Fi, so fix I, and take very large lambda, then I claim that it's non-degenerate. And when restricted to Fi, because Fi embeds into endomorphisms of V lambda. And we have the property that trace of A times A dagger, that Hermitian dual, is positive when A is not zero in endomorphisms of V lambda. And this is just, well, Hermitian adjoint, which can be implemented by just applying the real, the anti-involution to the algebra. And so since this is positive, it is not zero. So this means that it is non-degenerate when restricted to Fi. This means that that's true for generic chi. If it's true for at least one chi, basically we have this finite dimensional space Fi, and we have we can compute the determinant of the form, and it's a certain polynomial of chi, and we have to show that it is not zero. And if it is at one point not zero, then it is not zero.
I think that proves that if lambda is integral, then
it
does not exist.
It doesn't, the non-degenerate star product does not exist. But we saw from SL2 example that degenerate star product does exist. So star product don't have poles when they are Porosi singularities. And this is something that I haven't proved yet, but I think this should be true. And maybe I should mention last example. I believe, so there is a paper by Braden, Proudfoot, and Webster, which considers a situation where you have a symplectic resolution and a torus, Hamiltonian torus, which has finitely many fixed points on this resolution. And in that situation, you can define category O. And if you have a module from category O, and you have an element of this torus, psi, generic element of this torus, psi.
That's not
enough
by T.
Let me use this T. So we have some Hamiltonian torus. Then I can define the following thing. T of A equals to the trace in representation from category O of A psi divided by the trace of psi. Actually, this is just to normalize it such that T of 1 is 1. And so this will make sense if psi lies in an appropriate chamber. And so this gives you a trace. And you can show by some quasi-classical analysis that it should be non-degenerate. Why? It is the same. It means the same thing as before. Right, so from representation, so in that case, this Hochschild homology is the same thing as middle cohomology of the resolution, which by localization formula is the same thing. It has a basis which is labeled by fixed points. And then you can construct traces corresponding to those fixed points, and generic trace will be non-degenerate. Okay, thank you. I don't know how to take care of evenness because that requires setting psi equal s, and then this is not going to converge. So presumably you can take some kind of limit, but I'm not quite sure how to do it yet.
Sorry,
thank
you, speaker.
Yes.
Can you say in what other cases?
Well, basically, I can prove it. For example, if well, not for all, but for many of them, for example, when you have this algebra differential operators on n, g, so it acts on functions on n. On G, and this can be very small, but if it is a faithful representation, then I can prove this.
N is the space in Nakajima and your and Misha construction.
Just, the representation.
Yes.
Observation or question that, and if A has a symplectic dual, there is probably some kind of Hikita, quantum Hikita conjecture that can be used to classify these traces.
Sorry, can you say it again? So what?
I think when I think there is this Hikita or quantum Hikita.
I more or less know what Hikita conjecture says, but I don't see any connection at the moment.
Isn't there one that has to do with that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is the quantum Hikita kind of, like, I mean, if you're thinking of the Hikita conjecture in terms of, like, highest rates of category, that's like you use the automorphism, which is, you know, like twisting by the degree of sort of doing this thing with the torus and then sending C to infinity. That gives you the, like, usual homology. C is finite, it gives you some quantum.
So that this is a related quantum homology of the mirror.
Which I don't understand physically, by the way. Not about H0, but about all of them, right? Then, why H0?
Oh, I mean, H0, under this, somehow the zero, like.
Zero is middle, basically, the homology.
Well, no, it's like pure. Like everything's pure for kind of obvious reasons, for general reasons on symplectic resolutions. So, no, it's like a causal duality thing. Degree zero things turn into pure things.
That's how. Here's why the main issue was not degenerate. I don't see how.
Well, no, I agree. I don't know about that. It would be interesting to know if sort of the non-degeneracy had some interesting interpretation on how homology.
But by the way, already for Kleinian singularities of type an, where n is greater than one, this leads to if you just take degree zero part of quantization, which is just polynomials in one variable, you get some inner product on that, which gets some splitting, which gives you some orthogonal polynomials because this short condition transforms in a three-term relation. And these orthogonal polynomials, you can compute, so Dedushenko, Pufu, and Jacobi computed the weight function for that, those orthogonal polynomials. So that's the paper that you had in mind, yeah? Yeah, and the weight is the following. So in the simplest case, if you have singularity AM, in the simplest possible case, the weight function is more or less 1 over cosh to the m plus 1 of x. So if m equals 1, this is a hypergeometric polynomial. So you can compute everything. But if m is greater than 1, like 2 already, this is cosh cubed, this is what is called quasi-classical orthogonal polynomials. So this means that you can so hypergeometric polynomials are those for which you can compute both the weight function and the norms. But the norm is given by the determinant of the matrix of moments. So if you can compute that determinant as a product, that is a hypergeometric case. In this case, you cannot compute determinant as a product, but it satisfies some nonlinear recursions, which are like Penn-Levé-like. So this is still a good case, although not as good as hypergeometric. And what this implies is that there is a similar structure for nilpotent cone of Lie algebra. In particular, we have a Poincaré-Birgoff-Witt splitting, which is not, we have a splitting, we have an isomorphism from symmetric algebra of G modulo central character to enveloping algebra modulo central character, but this is not the usual map which is given by PBW, which is a map given by this trace construction.
Can you repeat why you get orthogonal polynomials?
Well, I mean you have this x y equals to z to the m. And if you look at the algebra, it has a subalgebra of, so if this has degree 1 and put degree minus 1 and this degree 0, then you have a subalgebra C of Z inside. And you have a split, so then you have intersected with these AIs. And this gives you some polynomials. And the condition that you have a short star product means that z times pi of z equals to pi plus 1 of z plus alpha I pi plus beta I pi minus 1. Because the degree of z is 2, so you're supposed to get degree 2i plus 2, 2i, and 2i minus 2.
What is alpha and beta?
Some numbers. And so this means that you have orthogonal polynomials. But then you have to ask what the, and you can compute always the measure with respect to which they are orthogonal, which is something like this. But then these numbers are hard to compute. They are given by some nonlinear recursions. And you have some structure like that for other high dimensional case, but you don't get a basis of orthogonal vectors, but you get some splitting into spaces with dimension bigger than one, which is induced by this thing. Okay, I think I should stop.